Don and Emily, welcome to Trinity Church in the city of Boston. It is good to be together.
Thank you.
Good to be back in Boston.
Yes, good old Boston. It's been a while. Yeah, good to see you all.
Well, thank you. Thank you both for joining us. Among the touchstones of our conversation today, we'll reference the book that the two of you wrote together, A Song to Sing, A Life to Live. The book was first published in 2004, and it's now available in a new 2019 edition from Fortress Press. And in its first chapter, each of you trace your song lines, your personal encounter with music's power in your lives. As we get to know one another, would you share some of your life story with us, and given our theme, perhaps how your song lines bend toward justice?
Well, one way to introduce ourselves is I'm just a white guy in church. And, you know, I fool around with the liturgy. It's been my life's work. I do a little composing, write books, teach things. But basically, my heart is with what the liturgy can bring to life in people's lives and the society. And so Emily and I have been having this long conversation. It's a long conversation. In fact, I've known her all her life long. This is a long friendship. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I come from a line of musicians. So my grandpa, dad's dad, Harold Saliers, was in the big band era, and he toured with big bands. And so it's in kind of the bloodline. And then dad, you probably would have been a performing jazz pianist if you hadn't been called God as your vocation.
Well, my first love was accompanying. I wanted to be a professional accompanist. So I wound up being an accompanist for the church's liturgy. So how about that? That's good.
So, but I then, and my mom, she's passed on now, but she also played piano and sang, and my sisters sang. I had three sisters. I have two sisters now, and we all grew up singing together, and we grew up going to church together. But I got a guitar in the third grade and started a secular path along my sacred path. Ended up meeting Amy Ray, the other Indigo girl, in elementary school. We joined the chorus in high school, and then we started a band, and we got fake IDs and started playing out in bars. So one of the reasons that we came to write the book together was to talk about the juxtaposition of a Saturday night, which is deemed culturally secular, and Sunday morning, which is deemed spiritual or religious. And so Amy and I played at this place called Little Five Points Pub in Atlanta for years. And that became sort of like truly a spiritual place where we were a motley crew of human beings supporting each other, singing, lifting each other up through music, a million different genres of music and folks there. So that was my experience. And Amy and I have been doing this now for 40 years.
That's hard to believe.
And Dad, you taught at Emory for...
I'm still teaching at Emory. I always say this is my last year, but anyway. So this conversation that we've been having has been so fruitful for me. I've learned so much from Emily and Amy, and learned about musical forms and genres that I wouldn't have naturally done, I think. And I remember you saying to me, if you don't like someone's music, check yourself out, because you may not like those people. And so I've learned a lot from you on that score.
So we did a lot of exploration together on learning to work through our judgments, because music speaks to people who choose whatever genre they are drawn to. It speaks, we need music, like we need air, I think. And as far as our path towards justice, I mean, Dad speaks of how the liturgy applies to real life. So I didn't, although we grew up in an ecumenical university community, it wasn't all intellectual. The churches were rooted to community issues and world issues. And I always found that fed my soul in a way that wouldn't have if it had simply been not connected to the world in any way. And so my sisters and I grew up being able to ask questions. We never had any religion or dogma forced upon us, and it became very easy to see, and we were taught, and Amy was taught as well, that we are citizens, you know, we are in community with other people. And so early on, Amy and I found how easy it was to create benefit shows where we'd invite other local musicians. And this is when we were still practically babies. But we're just like, somebody in the community needs a hand, and we need to let other people in the community know what's going on. And we would just sort of organize these benefit shows, and everybody came on board. And that's really how our marriage of music and justice work came to be. But all my seeds were planted at home with my dad and mom and my family and our upbringing and faith.
And oftentimes her stories from places that they played, I learn after the fact. And then I've learned so much because, for example, when you were in Mexico with the Zapatistas around and so on, you told me later, I'm glad you told me later, because as a parent, I would have had another kind of response if she told me, hey, we're going to be down with the Zapatistas in Mexico.
We're going to drive on a bus, a rocky bus, on a hilly cliff, 3 hours through the night, and end up in a completely sort of, isolated place in Chiapas. But I didn't tell you that, and you let me go.
No, that's a good
Well, to be filed under penance rather than permission. Part of what really drew me to the book and to your collective reflections is the rapport that you have, father and daughter. There's so much love between you, it's clear, and mutual admiration. And I just want to name what a blessing it is to be able to share in that with you all for this afternoon. And I know that y'all have done some collaborations over the years. Emily, you sang in your dad's choir, and Don, you've recorded with the Indigo Girls. We're excited to hear a few collaborations today. So what would you like to play for us first?
Well, why don't we start out with a psalm setting, since that's where Emily often comes over and joins me. And this is a psalm that I like very much. It comes from a group of musicians at St. John's Abbey. I'm an oblate of the Benedictine Abbey in Minnesota. And there was a group of composers there that put together this psalm book. And this particular psalm, I think, is very appropriate for our time, too. It's called My Plans for You Are Peace. And so it's a setting that we're going to improvise on, done by these folks and the Grail translation of the Psalms, which is one of my favorite translations. So we'll sing it for you. Here's our psalm. My prayer, my plans for you are peace.